Hi, I'm Nathan Rigaud, creative executive at Whale Animation Studios and director of the short film Splash. You can find out everything we got going on at whaleanimationstudios.com and become a supporter of us at our Patreon. And you are watching and listening to Two Geeks Talking.
Hi, I'm Kyle Woodyall, and I am the producer of Whale Animation Studios' short film Splash, and you are watching and listening to Two Geeks Talking.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. Two Geeks Talking is an entertainment industry interview show where we interview the creative people from the comic, film, TV, movie, and video game industries. And of course, I'm your host, Kurt Sasso. We are joined today by not one, but two very talented individuals. They are new to the animation scene, which is amazing to see. They are from Whale Animations. We are joined today by the ever-talented Nathan Rougeau and Kyle Woodyall. How are you both doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Very happy to be here. Thanks for having us on the show and for talking to us.
Doing good. Thanks for having us, Kurt.
For those that don't know anything about yourselves as creative people, tell us who you are and what you're bringing to Two Geeks Talking today.
So my name is Nathan Rigaud, and I am the creative executive at Whale Animation Studios, and I'm the director of the short film Splash. I'm just a longtime filmmaker. I've been making projects and movies since I was in probably junior high and even before, just whatever I could do, whatever sort of creative activities with the camera I could get my hands on. I enjoyed telling stories. Looking back, the very early days, just messing with action figures in front of a camera where you're taking just one picture at a time, I think a little stop motion animations with action figures and various toys and stuff, just to learn the basics of how that all works. To now I get to work on some of the biggest movies in the world. I worked on Avengers Infinity War, worked on the first Venom, Jungle Cruise, a movie Devotion, and so many more, in addition to now expanding with Kyle Woodyall and so many others on our team into making animation content at our company, Whale Animation Studios.
So I'm Kyle Woodyall. I'm the producer of Whale Animation Studios' short film Splash. Nate and I have been working together for about 15 years. We had a production company in Colorado called Camera Speeds for a little while. We created original content. We also did like corporate marketing videos, music videos, stuff like that. We kind of spent some time away. Nate moved to Georgia and worked on the stuff that he just mentioned. I actually worked for the Colorado Rockies Baseball Club for a few years, doing some of their content. On and off, I've been working in the film industry. Recently, just moved to Georgia to kind of be with Nate here in the same state and developing the content that we're making at Whale Animation now.
Fun fact about Kyle, I've always said this about Kyle, that any position on the film set, if somebody doesn't show up and you just need somebody to do that thing, whatever it is, Kyle's the perfect go-to person. Like, he's just the man of just so many talents and so many abilities and just such a good understanding of filmmaking in general, that even if he's not, that's not his trait, he will figure out what he needs to do to make that day a win for whatever department needs that help.
I think being on a film set really takes a team to make things work properly. And especially when it comes to Whale Animations, being that you're both working together, you know, it sounds like you both work well with each other when it comes to not only Splash, this current animation, but I'm sure other projects as well.
Yeah. So I think a benefit that we have with doing the stuff that we're doing now is that definitely Nate and I have a shorthand, and fortunate to be like honest with each other about the stuff that we're doing. Whatever hurt feelings that Nate and I have ever said to each other, like, we know that like they don't like last long. And so we have a great friendship, but we also have like a really good just business friendship and understanding of one another, what we're trying to do. So, and I think that just becomes with like open, honest communication with each other. And that's just something that can just comes with the time that we've spent.
It definitely didn't start initially that way, though. The very first project we worked on, I was on take number 14 for a shot I was trying to get. It was a very specific shot. Everything needed to line up. The camera operator kept catching the dolly track at the very end of the shot, and the technical aspects of the shot was not working. So I was on take 14. Kyle was the assistant director on that shot. He walked over to me, and the first thing he said to me that day was, "Never again. Figure it out. Talk to your people. Use your people. No, never again." And I was like, yeah, what a jerk. Like, we were just trying to get this, like obviously. And so it was funny. It was like kind of this little rough start. But ever since then, we just had this respect that, you know, we're both really trying to create something in every endeavor that we've done together. We always try to put forth the highest level of creativity we can put into it, treat people the best that we can as we're going through it, and just really focus on good teamwork, good communication, and delivering the best product that we can.
I can see that. I see the fact that, you know, just in listening to you both and hearing your excitement about working together and hearing your excitement about Splash specifically. And let's dive into that short animation right now here. Thanks for letting me see that short film, by the way, because I think it was a beautifully done. I thought the sound design was really good. The shot selection, the message overall was really cool. And you know, I think it's just a beautiful kid-friendly cartoon that everyone should take a look at.
Yeah, thank you very much. That project really started Whale Animation. So when we looked at setting up the company and diving into creating these animation projects, we wanted a project that would make sense to start with as our first project that would really say what we wanted to say as a company as a whole, who we are and what we plan to do going forward. And do so in a way that allowed us to accomplish and achieve what we set out to do. In the filmmaking world in general, it's so easy to have such huge, massive ideas that you want to do, set out and try to do it. And there's always so many difficulties and things that can come up and affect your timeline or your budget or whatever it is. And we wanted a project that would really allow us to hit the mark where we wanted to hit it and learn the things that we needed to learn going forward and deliver the best short that we could in this new way. Kyle's wife, Mercedes Wheel, actually was the writer of Splash. And her and I talked briefly at the very beginning, and I threw some ideas at her as far as the type of story we wanted to tell. And she just took it and ran with it and made this really beautiful story about a young baby harp seal who is seeing the other baby seals out playing in the water. He knows he wants to go out and get in the water, but he's scared of it. Water's scary. It's a new thing for him. He's never been in the water. The water splashes up into his face and it freaks him out initially. It's cold and startling. It's just this new big thing. His mom tries to encourage him to go in the water. She jumps in even to show him that it's okay, that this is where we're supposed to be. It's fun. It's wonderful. And really, it's just in himself, he has to build up that courage and get over that initial fear for him to finally take the leap and jump in and realize that that's where he belongs is in the waters.
It's a wonderful message as well. I think that trying new things is hard. Trying new things is difficult. It's just like when you first get behind the wheel as you're trying to take your driver's license. With this kid-friendly animation and the positive message that you're trying to convey with Whale Animations and Splash as well, and I'm sure with your other projects that we'll touch on, I think that's just great to have, especially in this day and age.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the roles that you both had here. When it comes to being a producer, when it comes to being a director, what's the most misunderstood aspect about each of those roles that people who don't follow the industry misunderstand?
I would say for being a producer, it is being basically the biggest cheerleader possible and supporting the director and his vision and like giving him like what he needs, all like within the like reasonable kind of parameters of like the project that you're dealing with. Being a manager, setting expectations, keeping it realistic as possible, while also letting the creatives do what they need to do with the time that's given to them.
Yeah, when it comes to being a director, it's funny, I've never been asked that question before, but I really feel like one thing that's kind of misunderstood is how much of a leadership role you're supposed to have in that position, where a lot of people feel like your job is to just be this high point of creativity. Like everything creatively needs to come from the director, and the director needs to be the one that is calling every shot and every little detail comes through them. And that's really not the case. I believe as a director, your job is more so to captain and steer the ship. Director's not down in the belly of the ship, shoveling the coal into the furnace to keep the steam going for it, right? You have to have those people that know how to do those jobs and are in each of those places. And you have to trust those people and empower those people to do a good job. The biggest piece of being a director is really finding the right people for the right jobs, trusting them to do the job well, and empower them to bring the best they can to each individual task, and then listening to them. One big part about being a leader is that you have to give people opportunities to interject, empower them to interject when it makes sense. On Splash particularly, there was multiple times where we'd be working on a certain shot or we'd have a certain sequence. And one of our, either our animation supervisor, Sophia, or our compositor, Josh, would recommend something and say, hey, I feel like if we tweak this little animation here, or if you allow me to, you know, change the angle a little bit, or if we integrate this into the background, we can have, you know, a little bit better shot here, or this will work better, or it'll help lead into the next shot better. And those sorts of things are super invaluable. And particularly for this film, for me, I mean, those are details that I may not catch. And if I don't give our team the opportunity as the director to interject in those situations, then we could miss out on that extra quality or those extra little touches.
One thing I'll add on top of that is that film is definitely the most like collaborative medium out there. It is definitely no different for animation. This team that we had for it, everyone brought their own ideas and flares to like make things better for the film. That really shows. I was actually a little bit surprised going into this process, really like how streamlined maybe it needed to be, but really it needed to have some openness for our animators or whoever to come in and be like, I have an idea to do this instead, and be like, that's great. We didn't even think of that. Let's do that.
That's wonderful to see, especially starting a business, being that you're both in the film industry and then now starting Whale Animations. How did that conversation come about? And who exactly is the entire team? Is it just a small team? Is it a large team? Like, what's the rough breakdown of Whale Animation?
Whale Animation, it's a small team that has a lot of various parts and a lot of people connected to it, if that makes sense. So there's really kind of a core group of us, myself, Kyle, my wife, Kyle's wife. We have a few other producers on our team. We have a couple key artists that are pretty much somewhat full-timers, quote, that work with us. And then we have a lot of other people attached in various support roles, various artistic roles that we plug in for certain projects or when timing makes sense. But as of right now, we're still a pretty bootstrap team, if you will, just trying to get this started. And how it came about, prior to COVID in 2019, I embarked with one of our key writers who's with us at Whale. Her name is Emily Lilliquet. Her and I worked on a audio drama called Quest of Heroes with this goal of telling a story going back to like the old classic radio shows that you heard where everything's really nicely designed. You have actors with full scripts and full audio design and custom music and really telling these really great stories over the radio. We wanted to do that as well as just further practice for storytelling, working with really great actors, putting together good teams. And the whole time we were doing that, we really want to animate this. This would be an amazing animated show. This is something that we feel really passionate about. As we were going through that, we kind of got like halfway through all the recording of the whole season, invested quite a bit into the audio design and making this a really high quality product. And we stopped because it got to the point where we're like, well, if we continue with this, it really needs to be pivoted to an animation situation. So flash forward a couple of years, I thought about it, went through COVID, obviously that was, you know, 2020 was a rough year for everybody. And so a lot of things got put on hold. But one thing that didn't go away was that passion for really wanting to tell animated stories. I grew up, and Kyle as well, in the kid of the 90s, watching all these really amazing family films that came out of that time, and animated films that came out of that time, being inspired by those and loving those growing up and loving them now, even as an adult. And it was right after my son was born that I was like, you know what? If I don't start this now, I'm never going to start it. So it was one of those situations where I thought, Kyle, I said, you know what? I want to do this. And you've always been a huge supporter of me, and we've always worked so well together, and I need some help if I'm going to do this. So what do you think? He was on board from day one. And so we kicked it off in 2021.
Splash being one of the many animations that you have currently under Whale Animations, what are some of the others that you're both proud of and that you're looking forward to showcasing when they get released, or if they have already been released?
So the main focus is creating, as Nate mentioned, like actual like kids shows. We have, I think, a total of four, right, Nate?
Yeah, so we have multiple series that are in various stages. We're kind of in the stage of pitch and development stages on some of our series right now. and we have four current series that are in development. We have a few other short films, and then we have a couple features that are also in development phase moment as well. So one of the projects that we're most excited about, and probably the first one that we started working, obviously I mentioned Quest of Heroes, which is still as one of our development projects. But another one that we're very excited about series wise, I'll let Kyle speak to one of the projects that we're super excited about, The Traveling Adventures of Al Mini.
Probably one of the series we're most excited about is The Traveling Adventures of Al Mini. So it actually stars the real life Al Mini. For anybody who doesn't know, he is a writer. He's a big wave surfer. He's like a real life adventure guy. We actually have him signed on to play himself in the show. So we're super excited about that. One of the things that he wanted to kind of bring is some of the things that he's most passionate about is he's a big mental health advocate, mostly focusing on like depression and even suicide, unfortunately. Our show is not necessarily going to speak to that, but it's going to speak to mental health in general, particularly to children and young teens. That is the audience of the show. To give you a premise of the show, it's a show within a show, which is kind of fun. Stars Al Mini. Al is traveling the world with his television crew. Our audience is going to kind of learn about the people and the culture of where the show takes it. Obviously, everywhere they go, they're going to kind of come across some sort of problem that the team there is going to have to like overcome. We're going to kind of show how to demonstrate problem solving and teamwork while also learning about a new place and a new culture. Why I like this one the most, because one of my favorite shows growing up was like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. So I think it's kind of like a nice throwback to like that, but with new. So that's one that I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, as soon as you started talking about that, I'm like, this is like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. This is like perfect fit for it. I love it. That's awesome.
You get to play with a little bit of the trope of the show within the show. So you get a little bit of the how documentary crews get to work and some of the fun that they have there. We have a fun scene where Al's speaking in front of the Old Faithful geyser in Yellowstone National Park. And he gives this just amazing outro to the episode. It's timed perfectly. The geyser erupts behind him. Then the crew's celebrating. They're really excited. They got a great shot. And it was such a perfect take. But the sound girl is really upset in the corner, kind of freaking out a little bit because she forgot to push record. We get to come together and be like, you know what? That's okay. We're going to wait for it again. It's Old Faithful. We know when it's going to go off again. We'll do it again. No big deal. So just kind of supporting that teamwork, you know, some comedy in there, having some fun and being able to show people really cool places all around the world.
There's a lot of television nowadays compared to say the 80s and 90s when we grew up with the amazing cartoons that we see. I mean, for me, 90s cartoons was the epitome of amazing because you had Batman, the animated series, you had Spider-Man, yes. You had X-Men. You literally had like the classic trifecta of amazing cartoons. Like,
well, then even good educational shows like Magic School Bus.
Yeah. Of course, you go back to the classics. You can go back to Sesame Street. You can go back to the education has always been there. Mr. Dress-Up was Canadian. It would be Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood would be the American side of things. Education is always on the forefront for television because we're trying to reach an impressionable audience, but we're trying to teach values and lessons that when we were growing up, I don't think has been really passed down what's available nowadays. And I think with what you're creating, with what you're all creating as a team is a great step forward for that. And I'm glad that you're able to get your messages across in a healthy and positive manner.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's something that's really important to us. The content and the things in the shows and the projects that we produce, we want them to have a lasting value there. We want them to not just be quick popcorn entertainment, right? We want them to be something that kids can learn from, families can watch together and enjoy, have more depth there. And it's true, there's not as much of those films and shows out there right now. There are still some, and there are some really, really good ones out there. Kyle and I are both huge fans of the show Bluey. That's an incredible show that has a lot of good entertainment while also putting some really nice messages in there.
I think what you were getting to back to, Nate, was just how important even co-viewership is creating this kind of content for children, not just putting your kids down for them to be entertained for like an hour so you can be on your phone. that's something that we kind of see as like, that just shows you that the content that's out there is just not good. It's not good enough. We see a gap. And so since there is that gap, let's try to fill it with what we know could be best.
Exactly. Bringing content that brings people together is a big part, and it is part of our mission statement for the company. There's so many things in life and in the world today that keep family members away from each other, from busyness and just life and just different interests, right? Having and creating content with the idea that allows for people to come back together to view it together and enjoy something together that maybe inspires some conversation after the show is really important to us. And it's not like every single episode or every single project we're doing, we want it to be 100% educational or have some sort of very specific message. We do have shows and we do have projects that we're working on that are designed more to just be fun, to be something that can be enjoyed by multiple age ranges. One of our projects that we're also really excited about, Aether Fallen, is directed by another one of our team members, George Bennett, has just done a really incredible job creating this visual steampunk city in the sky world. This show is more for the teen demographic and into adults. So it's a little more dramatic, a little more action. There's some governmental conspiracy sort of situations going on with these cities in the sky controlling people and keeping the truth about what's going on. The people think that they can't travel back down to the land anymore. They're told that the land is poisonous, so you can't live down. That you have to live in these cities in the sky, and through that, they kind of control thought and control people do. But you have these rebel pirates that are exposing what's going on, and they're intercepting water cargo runs and showing people the water safe to drink, and those sorts of situations, right? So it's just fun action adventure with all these yeah. So just that's one of those shows that's designed to be fun that maybe parents can watch with their teen kids together and enjoy together, and at least get where there's not necessarily like this grand message. I mean, there may be some message that can be inspired through there, at least from like these characters overcoming adversity or those sorts of things, right? That's obviously built in there. But the goal of that sort of show is just, again, bring people together to watch and enjoy.
I'm glad that you have a plan. I'm glad you're putting forward some amazing projects and animation, and I can't wait to see what else comes down the pipe. And once they get completed, I'd love to have you both back on the show and talk about it, because I think the messages you're both conveying and your entire team is conveying is necessary, and I'm glad that you're taking that step forward to provide that value.
Thank you.
What is your creative kryptonite?
Ooh.
That's a really good question, Kurt. I mean, I've worked in a lot of agency situations lately, and those kind of things, it's just like the creativity needs to be like boundless, but also again, like contained in a way. Oh, man. It's politely saying no. It's probably maybe the best thing I can kind of come up with. At least from like a producer side.
Like trying to do too much and being able to rein it back in.
It's funny how quickly things can just slide down like a very quick hill and snowball into like all of a sudden, like you're in a situation that you can no longer stop or control. And unfortunately, like you can't undo it at that point. But then a matter of identifying that like ahead of time, so those things just like don't happen anymore, is maybe my best answer to that question, because that's a really good question.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but this is the answer that I'm going to go with. As a director, I'm going to say funding. Funding is absolutely kryptonite to creativity. Like all these things that we want to do and all this stuff that you want to do, it comes down to, well, how much budget do you have for that project? And if you don't have very much budget, you can't do very much. And then Kyle's going to tell you no. Polite. There's always more to it than that, but it definitely feels that way sometimes.
You find ways to where the solution is not money and it's not people. I mean, it comes to that when you're like, well, we don't have more money and we don't have more people, but we still have a problem. Let's explore those options. And there usually will be something there. It just now becomes a discussion amongst like the group to find what that is. And it can be a number of different things.
What was an early experience where you learned that language had power?
Was this one for Stan? You're coming in with the good questions, Kurt. I would say like my earliest memory of when language had power was when I knew that there were consequences for what you said. And I think that comes when you're a child and you tell your mom or your dad to like shut up, and they're like, no, that is not okay. The feeling is the feeling, but then actually like verbalizing and like saying it at that time, I got to keep in mind, I'm like maybe 4 years old, 4 years old or 5 years old at the time. And yeah, I mean, I had a memory where I told my mom, I was like, shut up. And they're like, nope, like that is not okay. And you're like, oh, I have to be mindful of the words that I say. Like they have power and they have consequences.
Yeah, we had the wooden spoon. Wasn't great.
Yeah. The wooden spoon is pretty powerful too.
especially wielded by a single Italian mother.
I got to go on a missions trip in high school to Dominican Republic. Got to play with this group of young Dominican boys that they play baseball all day, every day. It's their one true love in the world. And they're all really, really good at it. And they loved seeing a goofy American high school boy come and attempt to play baseball with them. I remember being there and I'm up to bat and I swung three times and missed every single time wildly. They're laughing. They thought it was great. And I kept trying to walk away and they kept saying, no. They kept bringing me back to it. And I was like, well, un, dos, tres, you're out, right? And they're like, no. And they kept saying over and over again, like, we want you to go until you hit it. Because they wanted to see how many strikes they can get on me, basically. It's what the translator told me later. It's like, no, they're trying to see, like, how many strikes until you finally are able to get one. And it was a funny situation because, when you talk about language having power, there's also a lot of things that you can see and understand even when you don't understand the language. And I think that's also just as powerful. In that situation, here's me. I don't understand the language. I know three words in Spanish sort of situation, but just being able to be there with these other boys and enjoy something that they're enjoying and help in the fun, even though they're kind of making fun of me. But it's fine. Just making me kind of enjoy that. And you can cross those language barriers and let kind of break through a little bit of that power that I can hold over you. I sidestepped that question a little bit for you. I'm sorry.
That's good. Hey, it was a great, great story. How does language having power translate to whale animations?
Ooh, these are good questions. For whale animation and really specifically for Splash, that was actually a choice that we made very specifically was to not have any dialogue in the film and was to communicate the message of the movie visually. Through the shot selection. So the language that we decided to speak with in the film was both in the music that runs with the short film, as well as the shot selection in the emotions and inflections that you see in the characters in the short film and communicate what's going on that way. And going forward for us, using animation as that vehicle, as that language, is really important to us because animation as a whole is a language that is spoken that brings back that sense of storytelling. One reason why we really love 2D animation and why it's a big focus of our company, it's going to continue to be a big focus of our company going forward, is that it brings back that sense of nostalgia of being read a storybook as a kid or reading a storybook to a child where you see these really beautiful two-dimensional illustrations on a page, these nice flat illustrations, but so much story is told from those pictures and you know it's story time. And so for us, that's really what we're trying to do too, is start that story time.
Nothing against 3D animation. 3D animation is really awesome. You could do a lot of fun stuff with 3D animation, but when you usually sit your kids down tonight and you do story time, it's a book, it's a 2D book. That's why we're kind of fond of doing more 2D animation more so than even 3D animation. And even some of the style that we're doing is more that storybook style more so than any kind of like hyper-realism or anything like that.
Everyone usually asks, what's the wisest piece of advice, or what's the most BS piece of advice that you've ever received? But what is the second wisest piece of advice that you've received that has stuck with you in your career?
Man, these are good questions. Oh, man. I'm gonna need a second here. You first gotta think of what the wisest is, and then you gotta go just under that.
I mean,
And
I haven't been doing this for 15 years without picking up a few things.
yeah. You find some really good ones and some really BS ones.
I'll kind of tell a very quick story that involves Nate, and this takes us back a little bit to right before we started our first company back in Colorado. So this is like 2012. I had a full-time job, just like a regular full-time job. At the time, I was a little bit like hesitant of making film and video production like my dream, so to speak. Nate had a conversation with me that I still remember to this day, which was just like, I don't know what you're waiting for, but now's the time. Like, now's the time to do it. I was like, I don't know, man. It's like, I mean, you just have to go. You just have to go in and do it with little like to no hesitation. You just gotta do these things that like you're passionate about. And I was like, all right, man. I just needed like that little like additional kick from someone just being totally real and honest with me about it, because it's cutthroat business. There's a lot of bad things that can happen to you, but there's also like a lot of good things that can happen to you. But you kind of have to be brave to take like that first step. And like at the time, I just wasn't sure that I was ready. But sometimes you just got to do it. This kind of brings a little bit back around when Nate asked me to kind of help be part of like Whale. I was like, yeah, man, you know me. Like I'm in. Like you gave me that push I needed at the time. You need me now. Like, yeah, let's go.
First off, thanks, John. That's a good story to go back to. I didn't have to give him much of a pitch for Wales, so he was ready to go from the moment I started talking about it. But just kind of piggybacking off of that a little bit, I'm gonna bring some inspiration from that first project that Kyle and I worked on when we butted heads a little bit. I ran outside and was working on a bunch of stuff, running around all by myself, trying to make everything happen lighting wise. And he came out to me and he very clearly and directly told me to utilize my crew, stop messing with stuff and utilize my crew. And that is a very direct quote that kind of fits into what I consider one of the biggest pieces of wisdom, and that is to develop and use a really strong network. Stole it probably from somewhere, but I really believe that you live and die by your network of people that you surround yourself with. Right, people always talk about the types of friends you should have and the types of people you surround yourself with. And that professional word for that, if you will, is the network word, that network that you have. And I think that's super important, because not only for the projects that you're working on, but just your life in general. Having really good people that you surround yourself with, you can either look up to, or your biggest fans kind of cheering you on or providing you really strong guidance. You kind of have to always have somebody that is mentoring you and somebody that you are mentoring, because I think inside that balance is where you're going to be the most successful of staying on that right path, whatever that path is, towards the goals that you're working on.
Everyone has one person that inspired them on their path to where they are today. Who was that for you?
Waiting for Nate to answer this one first.
I know. So funny, because you always try to think of someone super inspirational, or somebody that a lot of people will know, or those sorts of things. And you know what? I'm just gonna say the first name that comes to my mind, and someone that I really look up to, and who was a really big part of kind of my journey of the last, I guess, 6 or 7 years. But and I don't want to necessarily say like this is the pivotal of inspiration for me by any means, but my good friend Jerry Vo, out of Colorado, was definitely somebody that was a huge influence to me, particularly coming out here to Atlanta, Georgia, where I now live, moving from Denver, Colorado. I'm taking that jump to work in the major motion picture world out here, which has then, transitioned into me setting up Whale Animation with our whole team here. But the reason why that he was such a kind of inspirational person for me is he's just one of the hardest working people I know, but he's also one of the people that cares so strongly about his family. And he's always just done such a wonderful job taking care of his kids, loving his wife, and working really hard towards, his personal goals of working in the industry and being that family man. And his balance there has always been really inspiring to me and motivating to me. And he was a big supporter of kind of helping me get to where I am. So yeah, definitely he was a big inspiration.
Can I follow up with a Jerry story real quick?
Yeah, sure, man.
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry is a really great guy. He's helped Nate and I out on a lot of things. Everything Nate said about him being like a family guy first, and then just being like a very hardworking individual. Funny guy to be around. Such a good time. We met Jerry on a feature film in Colorado that had no budget. We had a huge party, like college party scene at the governor's mansion. We were severely under like staffed for this scene that we were doing. I think it was Craigslist. Like I put
Just
out,
Craigslist.
yep. I put out a thing for like Craigslist, like I need crew tonight for a party scene, blah blah blah. And the person that ended up showing up was Jerry. And it is like this huge like foyer with like a pool and stuff like that. And like we had to like light it all like in a matter of like an hour. Nate and Jerry like made it happen like in that amount of time. One of the things that they ended up doing is that they set up like a light and like a bounce and stuff like that, like over this like huge garden wall that was then like reflecting light back into the area that we were shooting, just because of like the amount of time that they had to like make this scene happen. Like it wasn't like fully secured, so to speak, right? So a little gust of like wind came up and like the kind of the rig began to sway or whatever. And like no joke, like Jerry jumped this like 9-foot wall to like get on the other side.
Scaled and jumped the wall in like a single bound.
And we knew that night, like Nate and I were like, we love Jerry. Jerry's the best.
Where do we find that? Where do we find that guy? Like, oh, Craigslist.
Yeah, come to find out that we ended up working on and off with him for a number of years after that. Great guy. Probably someone who's inspired me or has been like kind of like a mentor to me. I would say was my boss at the Rockies, Jeff Donahue. Very similar to what Nate said about Jerry is that Jeff is like a great guy to speak with about life, like in general, cares deeply about his family. And then also just cares deeply about people and like how they're doing, more so than the work at times. But talking about work, he was someone that I had no idea someone could have like the mental capacity to kind of like hold the amount of like tasks that like needed to be done, like in the certain amount of time that they needed to be done. So I was always in awe that he had this like functioning of like doing one thing, but also doing like 10 other things at the same time, like in the background. I've always been trying to kind of find that like next level of like working. And he kind of like mentored me and like in that sort of like space.
From a professional standpoint, you're both in the film industry and now starting Whale Animations, and professionally, you're successful in that regard, with many more successes coming in the future. You're also both successful family men as well, too. Do you consider yourselves personally successful?
Yeah, I mean, Personally, I would say that I'm very successful and very happy with my life as a whole, for sure. Family is definitely the most important thing in my life. I know it's definitely the most important thing in Nate's life. And the fact that now with Whale, we get to actually kind of begin to integrate some of those things together, like actually creating content that would be viewed by our family and by our children, like is really a gift that I never foresaw when I started to get into this business. So for me, I always wanted to kind of make like almost dark, brooding type movies. And because of what like family has gifted me, like I feel much more compelled to create the content that we're making now.
Funny, I've always been somebody that's been really, really bad at celebrating victories, if you will, or successful moments, because I'm somebody that lives so much into what the next hurdle is. Like, okay, cool, accomplish that. What's the next thing? Did that. What's the next thing? And it's definitely something that you have to be really careful about, and that I have to be really careful about in my life, because if you focus too much on the things that you haven't accomplished yet, you will never be satisfied and you'll never feel successful. When I look back at everything that I've done and everything that I've had to overcome and the things I've accomplished in that time, I am successful and I'm very happy with my family. I have a great wife, I have great kids, we have a house. It's not the fanciest house, but those are the things that's stuff that doesn't matter, right? The physical things don't matter. You can get lost in that, and you can get lost in whatever that next goal is. And you have to step back and be reminded of, hey, are you happy? Are you healthy? Look at the things that you have accomplished and be proud of those things, whatever they are. And that can motivate you then to the next thing, instead of thinking about what the next hurdle is.
Celebrating the small wins is definitely an important aspect of this business. Not get lost in like what you haven't done, but it's more the things of what you have done.
The reverse of success is failure. How do you deal with your failures?
There's a lot of things I've failed at, and you really have to deal with your failures. And the best way to deal with a failure is that next day when the sun comes up, it's a brand new day. Have to treat it that way. And when you look back on that failure, you can't just be like, I failed. You have to look at it and say, how or why or what caused me to fail? And what can I do that can avoid that failure in the future? Right. And it's always super cliche to say, learn from your mistakes, but maybe that's the third wisest thing, right? Is to look at whatever was the issue that created you to fail. Did you not try hard enough? Did something keep you from that success, whatever it is? Then evaluate what needs to be done to succeed.
I grew up playing a lot of sports as a kid, and so you learn pretty quickly, how to be a learning, winning and losing, and how to be a humble winner, but also being, I guess they would say like what, like a gracious loser, something like that, which is like you're not gonna be successful at everything that you do, but that doesn't mean that it's not worth trying. I think what maybe puts some people off about that is that they are worried about failing. And that even goes maybe back to the story I was just saying, how Nate had to motivate me a little bit to kind of get going. It was that I was kind of scared to fail at it. But now that you have the hindsight of that, we've all had a bunch of like failure since that moment. But I am no longer scared to fail. It's all kind of part of the game. You celebrate when you do have those wins, and then you just learn from those losses.
The younger generation is looking at your work and they become inspired to be creative in their own way, whether it's in animation or film. And the fact that you both have the younger generation with you looking up to you, maybe you're inspiring them down a creative path that you don't know yet. How can they inspire the generation that follows them?
Good question, Kurt. Certainly, the biggest inspiration that I just have in my life certainly just comes from my parents, right? And so I know that I bear the responsibility of at least being that for my kids as well. But I don't look at my parents as being successful or not successful about like what they've done. Like how I view them is just who they are as people. I know that they took care of me and they loved me. And all I know is that I really can provide that for my own kid, for them to, again, have that example just like I have, I think is probably the best way I could probably hope to inspire him for that generation.
I think the best way for the next generation to inspire the following generations is to really work on who they are in their personal character. When we create things, a lot of what we create comes out of who we are as individuals. And kind of like Kyle was getting at is the values and the things that are instilled in us by the previous generations that shape who we become is what needs to be looked at. The life experiences that you have to have make you a better, actors always draw, like method actors draw off of their experiences to help them act, right? It's really the same way when we create stuff. You're going to draw off of things that you know and things that you've been influenced by to help you create and help you tell stories. The best storytellers are always the ones that have done a whole lot or experienced so many different things, right? So for the next generation to continue to inspire the following generations, they need to work on their personal development and they need to work on capturing those experiences that are going to shape them into the people that they want, that they hope to be able to create and tell the stories that they hope to create, which will inspire them, the next generations.
If your life was a film or a cartoon, what would its title be? And what would its soundtrack be?
I'm going to go with Let's Make It Happen. That's the title. Let's Make It Happen. Because I come up with an idea and figure out how to make it happen. May not always be the best idea, but let's make it happen. And if it doesn't happen, we'll figure out whatever the next thing that happens. So it's going to be a fun animated movie about a guy just trying to make crazy ideas happen. The soundtrack going to be a mixture of classic rock and instrumental dramatic dubstep. I don't know. That's what I got. Yeah, follow that up, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to follow that energy up as much. Because the only thing that is like come into my mind, and unfortunately, just because I've embraced it as a whole, so it's just, I think it's just called Stoic Man.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Or like the misguided adventures of Stoic Man, maybe is what it's.
The log line is just a single word. It's in quotes. The log line is sure.
Sounds like your next animation project.
What did you say, Nate? You said a electronic dubstep? What?
Yeah, I said instrumental dramatic dubstep.
I can't follow that up, Kurt. That's too
Fair.
good.
Okay. Well, Nate and Kyle, I do hate to say it, but that ends this particular episode of Two Geeks Talking. I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Kirk.
Before I let you both go, where can we find you? How can we support you? Of course, where is Whale Animations and any socials you would like to promote?
Right now, Whale is actually in its film festival run in 2024. So right now we have it submitted to over 40 film festivals worldwide. We've already been accepted into two already. So the first one is Kids First Film Festival, which is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and that's March 1st through the 3rd. So we don't know what day we're in just yet. And the next one is the Chester Animation Festival, which is in the UK, and we know that screens on March 3rd.
We're two for two on film festivals right now, Kurt. So we just started hitting notification deadlines, and thus far we're two for two on those deadlines. So, but we can keep that going. I'm sure we'll get into some more, so we'll send some updates on that when we get them. The best place to kind of keep up on our updates and such is first our Instagram, which is Whale Animation Studios. The best way to follow us and the best way to support us right now is on our Patreon. Our Patreon is patreon.com/whaleanimationstudios. We'll post news about everything we got going on, so you can follow just in the news if you want to be a follower on that. You can also become a supporter on our Patreon. For a few bucks a month, you can help us fund these projects that we're doing. All of these projects are obviously very expensive, and there's a lot of even just logistical monthly things that we have to pay for to keep some of these things going. So all of our supporters really help become a vital part to creating these things that we are making. Being a supporter there, you'll not only get all of the news information about what we're doing, but we also provide a lot of sneak peeks of stuff that we got going on as we go forward. We're going to be doing some fun things for our Patreon supporters. Like, we have a children's book that's coming out. We have a children's book version of Splash coming out. So that's something that are going to be excited to send out to our Patreon supporters when that gets finished up. So that is a huge support to us. If we check out that.
Well, like I said, that ends this particular episode of Two Geeks Talk. You can, of course, find this interview and 1,000+ others on our website, tgtmedia.com or twogeekstalking.com. That's TWO, not the number two. That's a website you don't want to go to. Of course, that website's going through a revamp. So go to our YouTube channel. That's a lot more updated. YouTube.com/TGTmedia. The podcast is back at twogeekstalking.podbean.com or just search for Two Geeks Talking wherever you get your podcasts. And as I say every week, everyone has a story to tell. It's up to me to help bring it out. Thanks for listening and watching on Two Geeks Talking.